Greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I went back for Sunday school and I sat beside Brother David and I leaned over and said, "It's a beautiful day, isn't it?" And I didn't think about it. The sun wasn't shining, but it's still a beautiful day. We're blessed. We have another day to serve the Lord. Are you thankful for it? You can turn in your Bibles for a message of the morning. We're going to be turning to a number of different scriptures as we go through the message that I felt inspired to bring this morning. But I would like to use 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 as kind of a springboard then for the message that we have for this morning. I'm going to give this morning, this message is an assignment that's given to me. I'm not totally sure which way to take the titles, but as I was pondering and studying for an assignment that's given at Hepburn Street later, 1st of November. And the assignment, the theme they want to go through on the weekend is fulfilling God's call in the seasons of life. And I've been pondering this the last little while. And so you're going to get maybe a pre-run of the first message that I'm planning on giving there. And I titled it, I titled it, Maturing in the Faith. Maturing in the Faith. But I'd like to go back to that theme of what that weekend is going to be about. And it kind of tie in how I am where I'm at on this title. As I got the sign, this fulfilling God's call in the seasons of life, I pondered so much how many people today are searching for fulfillment. No, it's not just out in the world, although it is out there. But I hang my head sometimes. I think sometimes it comes right in the church, people looking for fulfillment in life. Because they aren't getting fulfilled in Christ as they ought to. They're not as close to God as they ought to be. And so they start turning towards the world for fulfillment. The world is full of amusement parks, theaters. You put the list there. People, stuff to take people's time and their attention and to have a fling in life. Because they want fulfillment in life. But I'm here to say this morning, the only true fulfillment that you will find, and you've heard me say this before, the only true fulfillment you will find in this earth is what we're going to talk about this morning. Is when you mature in Christ. When you mature in your faith in Christ. When you're living for God. Giving everything in service for Him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're bound to thank 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, excuse me. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Is that maturing in the faith? Faith that grows exceedingly. What is mature? Maturing mean? Mature is the root word of it, is fully developed. An advanced stage of mental or emotional development. That's mature. Maturity, our title is maturing. So if we're maturing, we're working towards that. So we look at faith. Which direction are we going in it? We're working towards that, a fully developed faith. So we say faith needs to grow. According to this verse, your faith groweth exceedingly. I'm going to talk to the young ones for a little bit. It starts with you. When you give your life to Christ, when you come to the end of yourself and you realize that I'm a sinner, I need Christ in my life because He is the avenue that I can wash away my sins. You start out in faith and believing that God can do that, that He can wash your sins away. But don't stop there. Don't stop there. It's a day-to-day growing in faith in Christ. We need to go from that experience and realize as we have given our heart to the Lord, enemy, the devil, that is way stronger than what we are of ourselves. An enemy that's way stronger than ourselves, and we're going to need God to take us the rest of the way through. That faith that we need in God, that He has the power to take us through and to bring us through victoriously. Faith is something that we need to grow and let grow in our lives. I ponder which way to take my notes here this morning. I've got, well, as you saw me maybe sitting up here, I had three different areas of my message and I shuffled them here into two. So I'm going to try to not get confused by my own notes. But I'm going to go into, first of all, signs that we are maturing. We're going to look at some signs. How do we know if we are maturing in our faith to God? The first one I have seven of them. Signs that we are maturing. The first one I have, we stop living for self. John 3 verse 7. John chapter 3 verse 7. We do good to read this whole account. I'm not going to take the time. We know this is Nicodemus came to Jesus. And they're talking about the new birth experience here. In verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Stop living for self. As we think of that aspect of when we give our hearts to the Lord, did we have a new birth experience? What is the new birth experience? Our life is changed. We're a new creature. We're no longer living for the old man and self. Jesus saying, marvel not that you don't think that you don't need this aspect of it. It comes in. Verse 8, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Do you see areas? Can you look at your life always and say that, yes, I've got the new birth. I'm totally living above the old man. Their self is past. I hang my head. There's times when I have the old man rise up in me and I gotta crucify it again. Self must be crucified daily. Daily it must happen. Maybe too often we start out in our own strength and living for self in our own lives. And we get like Nicodemus in verse 9. How can these things be? How can you live for Christ? How can you have the new birth experience? Well, we need to realize that of ourselves, we are nothing. We are nothing of ourselves, and we must stay close to God. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. I have them in my notes here. You don't have to turn to them. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Of ourselves, we are nothing. We're so in frail humans. But as we walk in faith with Jesus, we can be henceforth no more children in our thinking of ourselves and working with ourselves. We don't need to be swayed with every wind that comes about because we know the truth of God's Word and we are living for Him. All right, second point. Signs that we are maturing. When there is a hunger for the Word of God. Psalm 42, verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? A thirsting for God, the thirsting for the truth of His Word. End of verse 2 there. What comes with a thirsting for God's Word? It's a thirsting for the eternity. When shall I come and appear before God? God, when are you going to come and relieve me from this life? We're looking forward to heaven, is what I see from that. First Peter 2 verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. We need the Scripture. We need God's Word to grow in our Christian life. When we are having daily Bible reading, we can be assured that we're feeding. We should be assured. There's many times today, though, I should maybe put this in. We can read God's Word, but do we feed on it? See, there's a difference sometimes between reading and feeding. We must take time. A hunger for God's Word, we're going to feed on it. Desire the sincere milk of the Word, but we must read on it. Read God's Word. Because usually if there's not a hunger for God's Word, if there's not a feeding, the reading will stop. It's only a matter of time, the reading will stop. All right, the third one, signs that we are maturing. We understand that our understanding of life goes beyond the here and now. 1 Corinthians 14. First Corinthians 14, verse 20, I'd like to read. Brethren, Be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. This verse is loaded. This verse has a lot of thought for us. How many times in our understanding, brethren and sisters, do we start thinking like children? And how do children think? They think about self. We had that in the first part there, but I'd like to pull this out again. Our understanding of life needs to go beyond the here and now. We need to look at the future. Not dwell on the present. Where are you going to end up? Where are you going in life? Be men. Look at the future. Understand the end of where you're going to. Because life goes way beyond the here and now. Or we can look at this verse. The center part. Howbeit in malice be children. Your understanding should understand that bitterness. If I let bitterness grow in my heart, bitterness is as cruel as the grave. Bitterness will take you down. He's saying here, how be in malice, be children. Children maybe can squabble one time and they soon forget it. Can you let go and forget? Or do we hold on to wrongs that others have done to us? Refuse to forgive. Maybe it's even just to say, I'm sorry. Unwillingness to say, I'm sorry. We need to be willing to apologize for any wrongs that we have done. When we apologize, we let God's forgiveness flood our life. The fourth one, signs of that we are maturing. When we stop pointing at others and comparing ourselves with them and take a deep look inside at us. We could turn to Matthew 7 and start reading about the mote and the beam. I'm actually going to turn to that. Matthew 7. I thought about this verse when we were in the Sunday school. As we talked about judgment. And who to judge? And these verses came to my mind because I was trying to sort this out. Let me go find our question here. Who is to judge the people of God? And question 3 was, what are some principles to exercise good judgment? I come into Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged. God's sitting there, or Jesus is sitting there on the mountain talking to the people. And he says these words, judge not that ye be not judged. And I was trying to weigh that. Who's to judge? I think it fits with this point. When I start looking at others and saying, they're the problem, they're the issue in my life, or they're wrong and I'm okay and right, we're passing judgment. This verse here, I believe, is saying, be careful, be careful. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Be careful, because there's more fingers pointing at you than the one or two that you're pointing at them. be careful. Do it out of love. For them, not for a selfish reason. But chapter 7 here talks about the mote and the beam. That's what I wanted to pull out first for this point. Stop pointing to out others and comparing ourselves with them. We so quick can do this. You see, everybody else is the problem. It's not myself. Maturity in the faith says, I'm a sinner too. I'm liable to fall as well. What should it call us to do? It should call us to pray for them. To give them the benefit of the doubt, maybe. Maybe the other person has a view into my life. Maybe the other person can be a stepping stone for me to grow in my faith in God. Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. What I see from that verse is the fact that we're going to build on top of what they already have there. Somebody else is in our life. Maybe somebody else has made steps in a direction and they're looking and wondering why we're not up where they are. Build on what the foundation that has been laid before you. Not everybody's building on the same place in their life. Yes, they're building on the same platform, which is Jesus Christ. But we're all at different journeys. We all have different perspectives in life. Be open. Signs of maturity is when we stop pointing out others and comparing ourselves with them. And when we start taking a look at our own self. The fifth one. Signs of maturity. When love is a foundation that we are working off of. Everything we do in life is done out of love. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Everything is done out of love. If we have to go talk to somebody, we do it out of love for their soul. How many times does love get covered over with my own agenda? Or how many times does love get covered over with self? True love says that no matter what, there is nothing too disgusting about a person that you can't love them. It's a choice you make. True love is a choice you make to love. May we make that choice. True maturity is when we can make that choice and love even when they're unlovable. Love must be the foundation that you're working off of. And when love is the foundation, you can be assured it's a sign of maturity that you can walk out and work in love with everybody about you. Sixth sign of maturity that I have. I don't have them all here, but maybe I got them all mixed up. Maybe you can tell me better ways to organize them. But I had to think of James chapter 3, verse 2. I think you know where I'm turning to. This familiar verse, familiar chapters, it talks about the tongue. The tongue. A sign of maturity is when we can control our tongue. We recognize that we have this member in our body that can get sharp. This member in our body that can cause so much hurt. James chapter 3, verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Where all does this fit in? As a youth growing up, I remember times when I thought I had all the answers. I thought my dad didn't have any wisdom when he related to things. When there was a decision needed to come up about whether I could go be with so and so. I remember very much the feelings of when Dad said no. And how I thought in my own mind I had a better plan. Sometimes the words could fly. But I don't think it always needs to be said. Yes, we're talking here about the tongue that we know that needs to be controlled. But sometimes our actions speak louder than words. They're not as sharp as what words can be, I don't believe. But our actions speak. What I want to pull out of here, a true sign of maturity as we think of our tongue and what is said from our body, the way we relate to things, a true sign of maturity says that I'm not the only one that has an answer to the problem or to what's going on. A true sign of maturity says there's many views to the situation. We're not the only one in the world that has wisdom that can be shared. And maybe our parents have more wisdom. We all know that nursery rhyme, I believe. The wise old owl lived in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. So why can't we be like that wise old bird? We know what owls are like. And maybe you say, well, we shouldn't use nursery rhymes in our message. I don't know. But the fact is that it has some point value to us. Too often times we engage the tongue and forget to be mature in the faith and engage our mind before we speak. Ephesians 4:29 says about talk that should be edifying to one another. Let us control our tongue. A sign of maturity is being able to control our tongue. The next one I have. Sign of maturity is when we realize we don't have to toot our own horns. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27:1-2. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. How How many times do we like to toot our own horn? We like to be seen, amen, and we're not getting the recognition we want. So we're going to make some noise. We're going to let everybody else know about it. I'm sure you've met people like that. Let's not be doing it. Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. Why is it wrong for us to take the credit for ourselves? Why is it wrong for us to ask for it? I'd like to pull out a thought from John 15, verse 1. John 15, verse 1. There'd be other passages I could turn to for this thought, but I'd read this passage about the true vine and our Father's a husbandman. And there's a thought that stood out to me that I'd like to bring out in this point. That is found all in verse 1 there. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Jesus is saying, He's the vine, God's the husbandman. Now verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. What are you? What am I? We're but a branch. If we don't live our lives as we ought to, we could be cut off. We're nothing without that vine. What happens if you snip it off? It falls off and dies. That's what we are. We're nothing without being tapped into that true vine. So how can we say and try to bring glory and praise to ourselves when we're nothing of ourselves? All we are called to is to bear fruit. Bear fruit. And if somebody else wants to praise us, turn the praise to God, because we're nothing of ourselves. It is God working in us. The last one I have. Signs of maturity. Signs of maturing in the faith. Kind of maybe caps it off. When there is signs in our life that our faith is important to us, is what I have down for that. And when there's signs in your life that your faith is important to us, would you be willing to die for your faith? Would you be willing to give up your life in service for Christ? We say, well, we're not put to the test today. No, but there should be signs in your life that you would be willing to if it came to that. There is times where our faith is tested today. And I didn't go into that and ponder it, but I'm pondering more in the fact of growing, faith growing, and that it's important to us. So is your faith being exercised and being stretched and being enlarged in God? Are you walking with Christ daily today? Are you becoming more dependent on Christ? Are you being independent? Second Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever." Grow in the grace and grow in faith in Jesus and His shed blood. I'd like to take just a little time yet. I'm not sure if this is a total different area, but I'm going to look at how maturity is obtained in our life. We looked at some signs that we're maturing. How do we get to there? And I got a number of them here. We'll try to go through them quickly. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. How is it obtained? By putting away childish things. Exercising faith. We no longer go back to the way we acted. Maturity calls for us to step forward in our own lives and put an effort forth to do what this verse says, to put away childish things. The things of this life, things that are going to hinder my faith in Christ, we put it away. You want to mature? Put away childish things. The second one. How is maturity attained today? By cultivating the understanding. We could go back to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. The very words that we had read before. By cultivating our understanding. What do I want to bring that up again about? It's because you need to dig into this word, apply the truths to our lives, and let it affect us. Just strengthen that again, that we need to do more than just read God's word. We must study it and strive to know it, what it has for us. The third one. How is it obtained? By looking at Christ and striving to be more like Him. Christ is the one we are pointing to. Christ is the one that we are looking towards for leading through life. Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're working to have in the fullness of Christ in our life. Putting effort forth. Verse 14 goes on, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. We're getting deeper because we're looking to Christ, and our ideal is to serve Christ, and we're pressing on in service for Him. The fourth one, by partaking of the deeper truths of the gospel. The gospel is full of many truths. We read about when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. Hebrews 5:14 says this, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those by whose reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. When do you reach that full age? Is it something you're striving for, that you are able to look at a situation and apply Scripture to it? You know the deeper truths of the gospel and what it means to apply this. I don't know when full age comes, but I'm still striving for it. I'm still striving to understand the deeper truths of God's Word. I trust you are too. I don't think in this life we ever get to the point where we can look back or step back and say we understand it all. We don't get there. But we must press on to know, discern between the both good and evil. Be willing to partake of the strong meat that God can give to you. Wisdom that God can give to you to understand and be able to digest it and to understand it. Pray for wisdom for that. The fifth one I have. We attain maturity when we overcome temptation. Overcoming temptation. You'll get stronger. Spiritual maturity happens when we can look at a temptation that comes to us and we can overcome it. 1 John 2, verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Are you overcoming temptation today? It don't start out by just one big step. I believe God gives you testings to step you forward and to be stronger in small temptations. But when we fail in the small ones, we're going to fail in the large ones. When we're strong in the small temptations, when we overcome in them, when a large one comes, it is possible for us to overcome it because we have the faith built in God. Reminds me of a song. Faith being built, it reminds me of a song I heard when I was growing up. It's only faith when you take it for a walk. It's more than words or talking the talk. Sometimes that first step might be a scary thought, but it's only faith when you take it for a walk. Faith must be worked out in your life daily. If you don't use it daily, if you're not taking it for a walk in your daily life, is it faith? We do good to question ourselves. Let us be servants of God that are maturing in the faith. Let us kneel for prayer.